1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show. Northwest Airlines says a pilot has been fired after apparently operating an aircraft while under the influence of alcohol. Northwest Vice President Jeff Carlson says the first officer of the flight failed two blood alcohol tests following a flight from San Antonio to Minneapolis Thursday morning. And Northwest says an airline ground employee smelled alcohol on the DC-9 co-pilot's breath after he got off of the flight. It was flight 1047 from San Antonio to Minneapolis. The co-pilot registered a blood alcohol level of 0.056 on the first breath test and 0.043 on the second. And in case you're wondering, the legal limit for pilots is 0.04. That's roughly half of what it is for us as motorists. So on the first breathalyzer, 0.056, the second one, 0.043. He says there were no reports of anything unusual about the co-pilot's performance or events aboard the flight. Have you got Art there? Art Griego is a former commercial pilot, and we bring him on the Phil Henry Show here to talk about this. It's very unusual, isn't it, Art?
It is unusual, Phil, although Northwest Airlines has had this problem before.
When?
They had this similar problem in the 1980s, and you can't approve of this as a pilot. But let me take the flip side of this argument for a minute, and I want everybody listening to your broadcast right now to imagine that they are a pilot. A typical airliner is about 300,000 pounds of steel, fuel, and fiberglass. You are charged with piloting it. Any man or woman who is human, I think, would feel the air on their neck as being pretty hot and would feel the hair stand up on their arms. You have the lives of 300 people in your care, not to mention the lives of their families. You get a little apprehensive. So
what are you saying? In the case of these guys?
No, I'm not saying that they had the right to drink, but I'm asking you to understand now from the other side, getting into 300,000 pounds of steel, fuel, and fiberglass. When I was flying commercially, Phil, just to give an example, I know a lot of pilots out there that can identify with this. When I was flying commercially, there wasn't one flight that I didn't first stop in the men's room and vomit. And then on my way back...
You vomited before every flight?
I think it's pretty standard for pilots because it is an extremely dangerous, sometimes a very high-tension, intense undertaking to pilot an enormous commercial jetliner thousands of miles across the country. At times, you don't know where you are. I mean, yes, you have navigation, but you're thinking, I'm taking off, say, from Los Angeles, and I'm going to fly this 11 hours across the Hudson Bay, over the North Atlantic. I'm going to come down over Ireland, come down over Scotland, and hope like hell that I can land this thing and find Heathrow Airport or Gatwick or Orly or De Gaulle. And if you think of it in those terms, it's amazing that planes ever find their way anywhere. And there's not a pilot out there that doesn't think as he takes off, doesn't say a silent prayer to God. Let me find my way. If you fly, Phil, and I'm sure you do, you know there's a lot of clouds up there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when the weather's bad.
All right. Have you ever stopped to think, how does a pilot find the airport? He looks out his window, and all he sees are literally hundreds of miles of clouds. And suddenly, he just magically dips down through the clouds. And there it is. There's Orlando, or there's Detroit, or there's Los Angeles, or there's New York, or there's San Antonio. How does he do that? When I was a commercial pilot, I remember bringing the nose of the plane down through the cloud cover and hoping to Christ, and excuse my language, that I'd see an airport there.
Well, wait a minute. You guys have navigational tools such as radar. I mean, if you're bringing the plane down through the clouds...
You bring it down, but you're thinking, when I bring it down through these clouds, am I going to see a runway? Am I going to see a farm? Am I going to see a city? Will I, and God forbid, especially when you're flying to Florida, and it's a very thin peninsula, when I bring this thing down through the clouds, am I going to be out over the Atlantic Ocean without a light in sight? And a very dear friend of mine who flew for a long time for a major carrier, brought the nose of his plane down once over the Gulf of Mexico. And it,
where was he going?
He was going to Charlotte, North Carolina. And to me, Phil, you have to understand these pilots drinking in that context.
Art Griego is with us. I get on Art Griego, who's a former commercial pilot, and our number, by the way, is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I get on a commercial carrier, and I want to fly someplace. I have a little more faith in my pilot than that. I think that he has the tools.
No, of course he does, and of course we have radar, and of course we have all the things that we need. But the reason why a pilot may drink before he flies isn't that he is being sloppy with himself. It isn't that he doesn't have self-discipline. It's that the undertaking that he is about to engage in is so frightening that I will tell you, Phil, I used to vomit before every flight. When the flight ended, I would get off. I'd walk out the gate, walk down the ramp, out the gate, make a right-hand turn, go into the Benz room at LAX, vomit again, and then know that my urine would be cloudy for two days.
And so you're saying this is regular?
I'm not saying it's regular. I'm saying for me. Some pilots it doesn't affect.
Why would your urine be cloudy for 2 days?
Just the sheer fear. The fear and the sweat that is created. I don't know. I had a doctor try to explain it to me once, but I'd have the runs. My urine would be cloudy. It'd be horrible.
Did you enjoy flying?
I loved it. It was my life's work.
If you enjoyed flying so much, and yet when you flew, you'd vomit, and your urine was cloudy, whatever that meant.
There would be some bleeding, nasal bleeding.
From flying?
Yes.
And this was from the fear?
From the stark, raving fear of recognizing that you're taking hundreds of thousands of pounds of aircraft up into the air. You ask yourself, how am I doing this, number one? What's causing this thing? What's keeping us up in the air? You're holding onto the yoke. You look at your co-pilot. You look at your navigator. You can feel the sweat coming down your face. You can feel it soaking the upper edges of your collar. You feel it in your armpits. You can't control your gas. You're in the cockpit of an enormous aircraft, and all you can think of is the Hail Mary, the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Our Father. The flight attendant comes in, asks you if there's something you want to eat. You can't keep any food down. That which you eat, you lose as soon as you land.
And so all of this is why, in your mind, you understand why that Northwest pilot took a drink.
I could totally understand. And I do not condone it. And
did you take a drink when you flew?
I took a drink. I didn't take the drink within the 12-hour limit, as far as I know. There might have been times when the pressure got to me so much, when the actual realization that I was flying, and when you think about men flying, you can only think, my God, it's not possible, and you want to nose it in. My thought once on a flight, a routine flight from L.A. to San Diego, we were flying, and I got to thinking about it. I thought, oh, my God, it's not possible, and I would have tried to land it then had we not been so close to San Diego. We were on approach. Pilots put on a good face, but they don't let you know they're scared.
And wait a second. So when I'm flying, I have a pilot up there who is petrified.
No, I don't know. Everybody's different. But if you've been flying with me...
Let's say I was flying with you.
If you've been flying with me, pretty much every time I went up, I was... There's an old saying, Phil, scared enough to, and pardon my language, to crap a green brick. And I'm sure you've heard it.
Yes, I've heard that.
That's how frightened I was. And pilots know that.
I got to tell you something. If I knew that I was flying with a guy who my pilot was scared enough to crap a green brick, as you put it, I don't think I'd want to be flying with him.
Well, that's your decision. You can do whatever you want to do. I'm just telling you.
And you loved flying?
Loved it. Still do.
Do you still fly?
I fly privately. Yes, I do.
Do you still get sick?
Yes, I do.
So you vomit?
Every time I fly, I vomit.
Oh, my God. I mean...
It's nuts, but I'm just letting you know. This is why don't judge these pilots too harshly.
All right. 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego's with us. Northwest Airlines has fired a pilot for drinking. They found a blood alcohol content on this pilot of 0.056 and 0.043. That exceeds the 0.04 legal limit for pilots. And Art flew commercially, said... It's understandable that a pilot will drink before he flies because the experience of flying is so frightening, is so, he used the term, however crude, and forgive me, you crap a green brick every time you go up. He said that he vomited before and after flights. His urine was cloudy for days. There was some nasal bleeding, headaches, excruciating migraine headaches that kept him in bed for days. I don't know why a guy would want to fly, but that, he says, is why pilots may drink, because it's a scary, scary thing. You know, it's one thing to be afraid of flying. It's another thing to be sitting there and thinking that your pilot is afraid of flying. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
You stay awake at night.
1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Art Griego, a former commercial pilot, joins us to talk about the Northwest pilot that was fired for having alcohol, a blood alcohol level of 0.056 and 0.043 in his blood. Legal limit for pilots, 0.040. And the point that you're making, Art, is that pilots will sometimes drink before a flight because the fear is sometimes overwhelming.
The flying is sometimes overwhelming. You'd go to bed for days with headaches. You'd wake up from a nightmare of a plane with flames coming off the engine, out of control and ditching, or otherwise, skimming the top of a mountain. You wake up in a cold sweat out of a screaming nightmare like that, where bodies are hurtling through space. Flaming debris is flying into the cockpit. You wake up screaming some nights.
And yet you love flying.
I wouldn't do any other thing.
Man, that is...
And so that's why I say you try and understand a pilot who might want to have a pop. Big deal. You know, the only reason some people are not afraid to fly is because they think that pilots have control of the plane. And if people knew how scared some of us are... of flight. Nobody would fly. I mean, this is information. I don't think the FAA would want you to know that.
I mean, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like a good career choice for a man to fly for a living who's afraid of it. And you're saying you're having nightmares of flaming debris flying into the cockpit?
Of the plane just coming apart in the air.
And this is what the nightmare that you have?
Every night. It's the same nightmare. It repeats over and over again. Like some Twilight Zone episode. I can't describe it.
And yet you love to fly.
I love to fly.
You vomit, you bleed, you cloudy urine. Have you had a physical?
Oh, yeah. I've checked out.
You're healthy.
Yes, sir.
1-800-449-8686. Ty, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello. Ty?
Yeah, it's me. I'm here.
Go ahead, sir. You're on the air.
Okay, I was talking before. I would just like to say that when it comes to statements like you don't know where you're at or anything like that, that's absolutely preposterous.
Now let me ask the caller, Ty. Are you in a truck or something, or did you just, what is that?
Yeah, I got the window. I'm sitting alongside the highway.
Yes, sir. You want to keep that window closer? Just to say, I want to ask Art. You said that you don't know where you are.
No, you know where you are, but you're afraid that you bring that you nose that plane down out of the cloud cover, and suddenly. You're praying you see an airport. That's all I'm saying. You're praying there's something there that resembles a runway.
Oh, well.
What?
I can't agree with that. First off.
Are you a pilot, sir?
I was an airline pilot, yes. I was the head of a union. I was the MEC chairman. I was the grievance chairman. I represented over 200 pilots.
Did you ever have nightmares of the plane just coming apart in flight?
No, I never had any of that. And I say the truth. I have crashed in two airplanes. I have had when I was being trained as a pilot. The instructor mishandled the airplane.
Yeah.
And we crashed the airplane, and the FAA ruled it a non-survivable. We both walked away from it. Even with that history.
Well, did you ever see the movie Castaway?
No, I did not.
I recommend that you see that because there's a plane crash scene that is exactly what I dream about. That
crash scene in Castaway is frightening.
That's the nightmare I have every night.
Oh my God! It's of ditching in the ocean and the turbines almost.
Yeah.
Have you ever been in a crash or even an incident?
No, I haven't. Haven't you been tempted to have a pop before you get on behind the yoke?
No, I've never had that temptation myself. And like I say, I have represented pilots who were caught testing. They had random tests, and they were tested.
It just worries me. How does it fly? How does it stay up? I don't know.
Plane stay up?
Yeah.
Well, if you go to Bernoulli's theory, it'll explain the whole thing. Bernoulli's theory explains how there's low pressures created above a wing.
Right.
And that's how this plane flies.
Do you think about that when you fly? In other words, you think, okay, it's Bernoulli's theory. It's Bernoulli's theory. The pressure.
No, not any more than do I think in the car. Who made my steering wheel or which way I turned my wheel? It's just another form of transportation.
Well, yeah, but when a car is on the ground, it scares me. It scares me to think I'm flying and I don't know how the plane is staying up.
When we used to fly out of Chicago on the commuters, we would be crossing Lake Michigan at 4,000 feet in a snowstorm, and I'd be sitting in the one seat doing the paperwork while the other pilot was flying at 11 or 12 o'clock at night. And I knew if that plane did not make it, there was no survivability whatsoever, and those thoughts never crossed my mind.
Oh, boy, I don't know how you...
I
fly, and I love to fly, but I got the runs for 2 days after I land.
Well,
appreciate
that.
Yeah.
It's a natural thing for you.
All right, listen, Ty, thanks for your call. I think the guy said it. Maybe you shouldn't be flying.
I love flying. It's been my dream.
Well, I don't know how that works. Here is Phil on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hello there.
Yes, sir.
I'm absolutely astounded at some of the things he's saying because I'm currently flying for a major air carrier.
You're never afraid?
Never. Never have been. I've been flying airplanes.
Well, let me ask you a question.
I've been flying commercially for 18 years.
Yes, sir.
I've been flying all kinds of airplanes from gliders to helicopters to bi-wing open cockpit airplanes.
You're a pilot, Phil, right?
Yeah.
And Art, you are.
That's correct.
Okay, now the two of you guys, pilot to pilot, you're saying that you've never had these experiences, Phil, and you have them all the time, Art.
All the time? I want to ask Phil, have you ever had cloudy urine or...
No. I've never gone into the bathroom and throwed up, and I absolutely, under no circumstance, would ever understand or condone any pilot taking a shot before he flew. I mean, first of all, the federal regulations don't say 12 hours before a flight. It's 8 hours.
Well, I tried to do 12 hours, and it.
Did you ever take a drink before flight?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, is this going to go past us?
Well, what do you mean?
Are you going to tell anybody?
It's on the radio.
I'm not going to say whether I understand a pilot who does, because I wake up screaming.
Well, I got to tell you, I've got 14,000 hours of flying time.
And you've never woke up screaming.
And never woke up screaming, and I do not understand any pilot drinking, and I don't know of any pilot that would condone or would take a drink. Now, I understand this Northwest guy got fired, and I think I understand the situation that he got caught in.
What do you think it was? I mean, maybe he drank a little bit under the limit?
More than likely, he flew a trip the day before.
You're a lucky man, I'll tell you that.
Well, he flew the trip the day before. He went to the bar that night. He had a few drinks. He had absolutely no idea that he'd be over the limit when he flew. And he went and flew his trip the next day as scheduled.
Well, my rule of thumb is 12 hours from the bottle to the throttle. 12 hours from the bottle to the throttle.
Well, but
I blew it because I'm so afraid. I'm looking at that Johnny Walker Red, and I go, man, what I could use for a drink right now.
And so you drink?
No, but I understand a guy that does.
Well,
all right. Well, Phil,
I do not want the general
public. And you don't vomit before you fly?
Pardon?
Do you vomit after you fly?
I don't vomit before or after.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you ever vomit?
If I threw up.
Do you vomit at all?
Well, what I was about to say is if I ever threw up any time before or after flight, I'd put myself on sick leave because there's something really, really wrong. I'm sick.
Well,
Has nothing to do with flying.
That's just my stomach. It's my nerves.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Art Griego is a retired commercial pilot. We're talking about a Northwest pilot who was fired because he had blood alcohol level that was over the legal limit. Northwest Airlines fired him. Art, you say that you understand a pilot drinking because the stark raving fear, as you put it, of flying an aircraft, of wondering how it's staying in the air, of praying to God, as you put it, that when you come down through the clouds, there's going to be a runway there. The stark raving fear, and you mentioned waking up screaming.
That's correct. I don't think there's...
That sounds like you're in the wrong business.
No. Look, once you get past all of that, it is so much fun. And
once you get past what? I mean, you mentioned your wife waking you up one night as you screamed, "Mayday, Mayday," in your sleep. Alpha Gamma Mayday.
That's correct. Look, once you get past the fear of not knowing whether you're going to land in Acapulco or on the other side of the River Styx, it's a lot of fun.
It's a lot of fun.
Yes.
Other than that, you're waking up screaming Mayday.
It happens. Ask any wife of a pilot.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Marie on the Phil Hendry Show. Marie?
I'm here, and
yes,
I can't believe
ahead.
What I'm hearing.
Go ahead, ma'am.
My husband was a pilot for many, many years.
Oh, you know what I'm talking about then, huh?
He never experienced that.
Did he ever wake up screaming?
Are you kidding? He loved flying, and all of his friends, and he taught flying through the war. Through World War II, he taught cadets.
He
never had a problem, and neither did any of his friends. This whole thing sounds stupid.
Well, no, but I'm asking, ma'am, you said
you
that your
should
husband
not
is
be
dead.
In flying, and the doctor that ever okayed you for flying should be out of business.
Now, why does the, when you go through a fit...
I passed my physical, Phil.
So the stuff that's going on with you is psychological.
Well, yeah,
of course. Then you
if of course
it's psychological...
Right. I don't deny that it's psychological.
Hey, if it's psychological, you don't belong there anyway.
Well, ma'am, can I ask you, your husband passed on, is that
yes,
correct?
Yes, he has.
He didn't die choking on his own blood, did he?
What does that mean?
Well, from a bad dream.
Are you kidding? He had a heart attack.
Okay, there you go. He had a heart attack. Was he flying?
Had nothing to do. He was an operator of a fixed base operation that had jets and everything else.
Right. And was he flying when he had the heart attack?
No, he wasn't.
Where was he?
He was in the house sitting on the couch, and I was sitting in a chair, and we were talking.
Was he watching a TV show about flying?
No, he wasn't. He was reading a paper.
Okay, was there a story about airplanes in it?
Oh, come on.
Well, I'm just saying...
Come on, he was sitting on the couch.
You're a lot of baloney,
well,
and you
how
know
How do you know
it.
That flying didn't lead to his early
Oh, my
death?
God, I knew pilots all over the place, and I never heard of... My husband taught young cadets. At Ryan Field in Tucson, Arizona,
Ryan Field.
Through World War II.
Right.
And we never had problems like that.
No, but did he ever, was he reviewing his flight log when he died?
What?
Because when he died, when your husband died, was he...
Oh, look, we've gone over this poor woman's husband's death long enough, okay?
Did he ever take a couple of pops before flying?
It had
flying?
Nothing to do with flying.
Let me ask you something. Your name's Marie?
Yes.
Do you drink?
What has that got to do with it?
I'm just asking a simple question.
No.
Do you take a drink every now and again?
No.
Okay. You've been on airplanes, though.
Once in a while, my
All
daughter
right.
lives in Texas,
okay.
and I go there.
And when you are on an airplane, I'm sure you see other people drinking.
Yeah, what has that got
there
to
you
do
go.
With it?
I rest my case.
And I never,
what do you mean you rest your case?
Saw pilots vomit in the aircraft either.
No, I didn't vomit in the aircraft.
My daughter was a flight attendant for many years with Eastern.
Did she vomit?
Of course not.
Well, I know that a lot of flight attendants vomit.
You're a lot of crap.
Ma'am, I will tell you that
in my... You are a lot of baloney.
I'm a lot of baloney. Then how
yes,
come
you
my
are. You're
how
just
come my urine's cloudy?
Listen, if
why
you,
is my urine cloudy?
If you told your right name, your doctor should never have given you a physical.
What did the doctor say to you when you had your physical?
He asked me... first of all, he did a blood work. He knew there was nothing wrong with me. I went through a battery of tests that took 4 days... at Alamogordo, New Mexico, at the NASA lab there.
4 days.
What are you laughing at?
It take 4 days
what are you
for
I
one
went,
thing.
I went through a complete battery of physicals.
Yeah, well, you should have, but
tubes.
It's for other things.
Okay, lady. Great. You know, you weren't
you're,
the pilot your husband was.
You are pulling down
You're pulling down. How much money you pull down a year?
I'm not a person that is working right now.
Well, I think you ought to contribute a little to society, don't you?
You don't.
All right. Thanks for your call. Look, Art, what we're talking here is a pilot who is flying, who has the stark raving fear that you're talking about being cleared for a physical.
Then you've got to ask the doctor that cleared me. I don't know.
Did you tell him you had the fear?
I told him that I woke up spitting blood. And
did he give you a physical for that?
Yes, he did.
When? What did it say?
Everything was beautiful. My blood work was normal. He said I could. I'm going to live another 50 years.
Well, then I don't understand that, man. I don't know how anybody could clear you for flying if you're spitting blood, if you wake up screaming, you're screaming alpha, gamma, mayday, mayday, you're having dreams of fiery debris raining down on you in the cockpit, you don't know whether you're going to find a runway when you bring the plane down through the clouds, you don't know whether you're going to land in Acapulco or the middle of the Gulf of Mexico, you don't know how a plane is flying, you have to sit there and... You see what I'm saying?
I know, but beyond all that, I love it. It's a it's a relaxing...
It's not relaxing.
What I mean by that is it's enjoyable if I can get past some of these things.
There's nothing to get past, man. What you need to get past is this idea that you like flying. Stan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey,
yes,
Phil.
Sir.
I have a couple of comments for Art and for the pilot who was fired. I'm a 42-year-old, almost, pilot living in Dallas, Texas. I'm also an airworthiness inspector for an aerospace firm and an A&P mechanic. The only pilots I know who consistently got sick when they flew, and I know of only one, he was an F-4 Phantom pilot who was a naval aviator flying off aircraft carriers in Tonkin Bay in Vietnam, and the only time he got sick was when he saw Sam's coming up at him. This guy,
well,
Art.
That's fine. You gave us your sketchy Vietnam credentials. I'm talking about the commercial aircraft that I fly.
I
once
understand.
Once you get into one of those, sir,
commercial
you give me a call
fly.
When you start flying commercial aircraft. All right, well...
It's possible that he does, okay?
Well, I doubt it. Flying is very relaxing. Once you have a half a bottle of tequila, then you can...
Yeah, okay. 1-800-449-8686. Good luck flying. Phil Hendry Show. Show here. You know, that's not the first time that's happened on Northwest Airlines. Like in the 80s, they had a Northwest pilot, I believe. Yeah, I'm sure. I'm not trying to impugn Northwest. I've flown them many times. Great airline. But this isn't the first time it's happened to these guys. And maybe I used to think it, you know, childishly and innocently. I used to think it's when they fly out of Minneapolis and Detroit, those guys need a pop before they go up on those things. They're de-icing wings. It's cold. But no, I don't think they have to take a drink so they can stay warm while they're flying the plane. Something very disquieting about sitting on the tarmac while they de-ice the wings on an airplane. It's just something that says to me, you know, I think of that Twilight Zone where they broke the sound barrier and they were looking down on a prehistoric Jurassic period, and then they went back to the New York World's Fair and they never could find their way back to 1960 or wherever the hell they were from. That's what I worry about. Yeah, I'm a nutcase, man. Yeah, but you know what? You got to fly out of Miami to the Midwest in the summer. This is a whole new experience in we've got an equipment breakdown. First of all, Florida in the summer is hell on wheels. It rains. And back east is pretty much the same way. So there's equipment breakdown, there's delays, I was going back and forth because I had a girlfriend in the Twin Cities, going back and forth between Miami and Minneapolis for 3 years and never, ever landed on time, ever. I get off the air at 6, I had to make a 6:50 flight to get the hell out of Miami, get to Chicago, hope I meet my connector, and pray to God I get to Minneapolis by 11 o'clock at night. Never. I'd be stranded in O'Hare for an hour, 2 hours, because it's raining, and it's too hot, and it's too weird. Where do you get the idea that summer is really groovy in America, man? The only place that's cool is California. The only place where summer is totally awesome in the entire 50 states is California. Not even in Hawaii. It rains in Hawaii in the summertime. It comes down in buckets back east. It comes down in buckets in the Midwest. It's too freaking hot in Arizona. And Nevada, it's 8 billion degrees in those states because it's just a desert. And, you know, there's so many golf courses out there now. It's sticky with humidity. In Texas, it rains. In Louisiana, it rains. The only state in the union where it is just bitching all 3 months of the summer is California, baby. Now, I'm sorry to have to break the news. I've lived just about everywhere in the summer. It sucks. Now, I ain't telling you that Minnesota in the summertime, yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, they got 10,000 lakes. And once the rain, but I'm telling you, like at 6 o'clock at night, man, they get some rainstorms that blast through that town. Like the, you can see on the radar, it's just blasted through. I can see. I can watch the approaching, the lightning. I mean, the electrical storms are awe-inspiring. And then I flew out of Miami in a tropical storm one night in the month of August. 40-mile-an-hour winds. Got to get to Dallas. I don't know what the hell I was doing. I was going to a golf tournament someplace. I didn't care. I didn't care if I died so long as that plane got off the ground because I had to meet a connector in Dallas. And I'm flying out Tropical Storm Gordon in the middle of August, 50-mile-an-hour winds, and I'm sitting there, I'm going, you know what, I don't care if the plane crashes. I just want to feel this thing get off. I want to get the hell out of this airport, even if it means going to heaven. Just let me out of here. Because I'd lost my wallet. Anyway, I was in a world of hurt, man. So I feel it. And the pilot says, well, you know, there's a tropical storm out there. I feel a few bumps on our way out tonight. That's fine. Get out. Go, go, go. We felt a few bumps, but as soon as we got above those clouds, man, we were living large. It was beautiful. But, if there's one thing, and I mean, I've been all around this beautiful country, man, and I'll tell you, there's no place like America. Yes, the land of the free, the home of the brave. But I gotta give it to you slow, and I got to give it to you easy, and with a little bit of lubricant. California, there's no place like California in the summer because it's nice. It's hot, but you can cool off at the beach. It don't rain. I don't tell me about the little rain showers we get in August every 5 years either, okay?
Oh, no, it rained last August. Why, my little rain gauge had like 0.75 of 1 nanosecond of 1 pubic hair of an inch.
Well, that don't count. It's sweet, it's sunny, it's nice, it's beachy, it's bitchin', and, you know, and then it comes down in buckets in January. Like right now, it's raining like a... Well, today it was raining, but like last week. Remember that? Last night, man, I'm listening to that thing howling through the canyon. There's all kinds of crap flying around my backyard. You know, I saw my car fly by. That's just the way it is. It just comes down. But summertime's sweet. But you don't want to fly no place else. We're going to go to Mexico here in a few weeks. And we're flying down to the Caribbean. Now, right now, it ought to be really nice in the Caribbean. It should be really nice in Cancun. Well, guess what? I'll bet you it's pouring when we get there. I'll bet you it's raining. And don't give me that Miami sweet in the winter either, man. Last time I was in Miami, it was January, and it was a monsoon. I was in the middle of Vietnam. Vietnam in a nice hotel. Nope. Only place for me is California. Born here. Gonna die here. And I'm broke here. California. California. Oh, never mind. All right, don't forget the number to call for our Phil Henry Show CD, 1-877-616-PHIL. That's 877-616-7445, $20 for the CD. $3.50 shipping and handling. We also have available the number one rated Phil Henry Show Best of the Year 2000 vinyl picture disc, LP. Payment can be made by way of Visa, MasterCard, or a personal check. And to date, we have made $92,415, and we are closing in on that $100,000 mark, and all of the money is raised for the great people, for the great kids, for the great community of My Friend's Place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. So we're getting nearer to that $100,000 mark, and we thank you for your order. But again, the number is 877-616-7445 to order your Phil Henry CD or picture disc.
I just want to understand this woman.
Hey.
Because No, I'm sorry. You are absolutely on the wrong railroad track.
Uh-huh.
And before you know it, a train's going to hit you.
What?
You heard what I said.
No, I heard it, but I didn't understand it, like a lot of things.
Well,
that
of course not. You don't understand anything.
Well,
I've never heard of anything so ridiculous in my life.
I went into a restaurant the other day, and they were babbling at me in much the same way.
Well, I can't blame them.
Well, but they don't make any sense any more than
you
do.
Well, you don't either.
Well, what are you trying to say?
You're nuts. You're
Why?
Absolutely nuts.
Why? Because I give old people a reason
no,
to live?
No, you're not giving old people anything.
A reason
you're just
to live.
A very selfish, self-centered person.
Why?
And
because
I think
I'm taking them out and having a really good time and I'm really cute.
Oh, come on, I'll bet.
I'm really cute.
I just hope and pray you get in the middle of this.
You know something? I'm really cute and you're really jealous.
Oh, come on.
It's true.
And my hair's not falling out.
It's true.
And I weigh a lot less than you do, I'm
sure. I'm offering people a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. And, all yes, they do sign a waiver. If you came on our trip, I would force you to sign a waiver.
What's a waiver going to do if the woman's laying there dead?
What?
What's the waiver going to do if the woman's laying there dead?
It is
You're
a very low probability she'll get killed. She may
whoever
get raped
hires you should go back and look at you again and
no,
say,
you're
for
wrong.
God's sake,
no.
why did
no.
I ever hire you?
You are wrong because the probability of getting murdered
I'm
is
not
no.
wrong.
This, raped or robbed, yes. Murdered, no.
Oh, come on.
That,
I hope you are raped.
Did
so
you
find out
newspaper?
What it's all about?
No, but I hope you get raped.
Oh, I don't have to worry about that.
You're too ugly? Yeah.
Oh, come on, will you? You're way out of line here.
You're way out of line. Whoever you are, I think whoever hired you had their rocks, I don't know, their heads turned
had
upside
their rocks,
down or something.
Had their rocks what? You just proved my point. She won't get raped because she's old.
Oh,
sorry.
Come on. And my hair's not falling out either.
Last time you checked.
You're kidding me. I don't think you even have any hair. You probably wear a wig.
I wear a fall.
Well, that's just as
but
bad.
But you know something? I'll tell you this much. I have got a pair like you wouldn't believe.
A pair of what?
Have you ever heard of breasts?
Oh, isn't that
oh,
nice?
Oh, wait a second. Was the mastectomy a little bit...
Okay, now that's really out of line.
Yes, she is out of line.
I'm sick. I'm absolutely sick.
I am sick, too. Why
you
don't you
begged
turn
me
her
to
off?
Be on your show, Phil. You called last night and begged me to be on your show.
I did not. That was Mike.
Whoever it was, tell him to go to bed and get up again, because
hey,
he got the wrong person on the telephone.
Hey, honey, really, when did your breasts go south? How old were you when they started just hitting your knees?
Okay, I'm hanging up on her.
I think you should.
I have got her.
Thank you.
Phil Hendry.
I got chlamydia.
I got a great looking ass.
Hurt me slow.